And a ho, 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 and a ha, ha, ha. Merry Christmas to everyone.
Ho, ho, ho.
And a hey, and a he.
Hello, everybody.
And a ho, ho, and a he, and a hey, and a ha, ha. Hey.
I'm Al, here with Jeff.
Sorry.
How are you, Jeff?
I'm Jeff. Jeff Openshaw, as a matter of fact. And this is This Week in Mormons of the week before Christmas. And you'll likely
You've heard of us?
I hope so.
Perhaps.
If you're hearing this, it could potentially be Christmas Eve. So if you are spending your Christmas Eve with us, one, why aren't you with other people? And two, thank you.
No, wait, reverse that. Switch it around. One, thank you. Two, why aren't you with other people?
Well, I was trying to end on the positive aspect.
There is help out there.
So much
we'll have helplines. Yeah, we'll put helplines up too.
We should open a TWIM line where people can call us for advice.
I would be the worst person to call when you're like in the depths of despair.
I've toyed with buying like a Skype phone number or something and setting up a TWIM line where people can just call in and leave messages or say things they want, and then we could just have all these audio, you know.
I think that'd be entertaining. I say we do it.
I'd be into it. I genuinely question, given the lack of commitment on many fronts from our audience, I wonder if they would participate. You know what I'm saying?
The people? Lack of commitment? What are you saying, lack of commitment?
Do you know we do not have enough reviews on iTunes? I have beaten this horse to a bloody pulp.
How many reviews do you want? Don't we have like 30?
We have like 50-something. We should, for how many listeners we have, Al, we have thousands of listeners. We should have at least hundreds of reviews on iTunes. But we do not.
All right. Well, I feel like 50 is enough, though. What are you going to do with 100?
Oh, well, it actually helps your search rankings in iTunes. Things that podcasts with more reviews get boosted in visibility.
Hold on. I just need to know. How do we rank when you search for Mormon in podcasts?
Well, they do fine.
Are we on the top or the first page?
I'd have to look again. It's been a while.
Mormon.
We did get a spammy email this week and help trying to sell SEO services to us. So, you know.
Yo, boy, we
which we've trouble. Been getting spammy emails more lately. I don't know who sold our email address to whom, but
that's probably on me. That's likely my fault.
Yeah, you just said, hey, this is the email address I should send out there. Something at thisweekinmormons.com. That's the one people needed.
All right. We are actually horribly ranked. But that's not that's your own dang fault. That's not because of reviews. There's people with like 3 reviews that are way better ranked.
Okay. So why are we so poorly ranked?
This is you with your our description. Our description is weak. All right, I'm gonna fix this, Jeff. I've let Jeff run the inmates are running the zoo,
yeah,
as they say.
That's the
and
idiot.
I have had enough.
Good.
We will rank number 1 or 2.
I have been trying as hard as I can to scuttle this ship with the hope that you would come in with your ingenuity and take ownership. This can be your baby. You are good.
My engines are churning and the ooity will quickly
the
follow.
Trumpiness of you would say that TWIM is failing. We don't win anything anymore. You're gonna
right, let's
you
not,
are
let's
you
not
are tribute. Gonna make TWIM great again. Let's make
let's
TWIM
not
great again.
Trumpiness to me. There was a great photo going around today of you remember in Home Alone 2, he runs into the hotel and like Donald Trump has a cameo in that?
I actually don't, but I believe you.
And the photo is, would you want this man who wouldn't even help a poor boy find his parents to be your president? No.
All right, then.
I had an equally entertaining moment in Belize. We were sitting in the hot tub. I was down there with Mattel, our mutual friend. And we're sitting in the hot tub amongst a bunch of other people, and somebody mentions Trump. And I quickly look at everybody. I'm like, and I say, we're all Trump supporters here, right? Like, we're okay. I think it's safe to say we're all Trump supporters here. And nobody said a word. It was this great running the table where I was like, good, because I just want to make sure we're all American. They're
like, sure.
Oh, sure.
But by the way, how was the rest of your evening with Alex after last week's show when we had an impromptu third host show up? Near the end of the show.
He just sits down and starts smoking a cigarette. Hey, man. I'm like, are you recording the show? I sure am, buddy. I wish you'd get out of here. But no, we were true friends after that. We went out to dinner a number of times and had a night of karaoke.
Did you really?
Yeah. Yeah. Jeff, I did a smashing rendition with 9 Belizean women of Take Me to Church.
Oh, very good.
I didn't understand those lyrics were quite as suggestive as they are until I was shouting them.
It's like son of a preacher, man. It's like, wait, what?
I was like, oh, boy. I didn't agree to all this. Take Me to Church.
That's fitting timing, man, because it was 6 years ago right around now, like this week, that we did our Cozumel cruise, where we also rocked the karaoke very hard. So good.
No, was that 6 years
ago? 6 years ago, man, yeah.
Because in 2006, we also had a great karaoke in Sevastopol.
Which is part of Ukraine, everyone, not part of Russia.
Yeah, not Russia.
Which, by the way, we had a rather incensed Facebook post today. I guess I've dropped the ball a bit on really, really following up on the whole. We reported on this, I don't know, 6-7 weeks ago, how the church has basically acknowledged Crimea as part of Russia, which we, of course, don't agree with. Neither does the U.S. State Department. Anyway, no, I have been negligent to nag the PR office again. It's the holidays. I don't want to waste my time calling Salt Lake. They don't want to waste time fielding calls from me right now. I'm just going to wait till January. We'll get an answer, though.
No, that's code for Jeff saying you'll never hear from him again.
If I call him this, I will call him tomorrow on Christmas Eve. That's what they want to deal with on Christmas Eve.
And then, but just end every sentence with hashtag a savior is born, and they are obligated to answer you. Hello, I have a question about Ukraine, hashtag a savior is born. They're like, oh, okay.
Well, right. I sent them an email about it, but they didn't respond. The problem was I initially contacted them like the day or 2 days before all of the handbook change stuff happened. And so the PR office was kind of swamped on that front with things. But I should look into that. It could be good.
Okay.
Right. Well, I'm glad Belize was fun. The rest of my time in El Paso was mesmerizing, to say the very least. It was.
I feel like that's a perfect way of describing your time in El Paso.
There's not a lot there, but I set off early in the morning before my flight to at least like explore something in the city, because I hadn't done anything, just to do something in El Paso. And I saw some of their downtown, and I went to the Chamizal or Chamizal.
No one would kidnap you, huh?
I stood on the border and said, please take me. Nobody would. It's kind of fun, though, when you're driving right along some of these streets that run along the Rio Grande, and you see, of course, you know, big fence, trenched Rio Grande, and, you know, border patrol everywhere. And then around the other side is just Juarez. And you're just kind of driving along, and there's just another country, another city, their own problems, their own issues, just bustling around.
They're doing their own thing?
Right there in view. It's amazing the way the world works. See, we don't get that, because when you go up to the U.S.-Canadian border, I mean, we have parks on the U.S.-Canadian border where Americans and Canadians can freely intermingle, crossing the border one to another.
You're thinking of Niagara Falls.
No, I'm thinking of the one that's on I-5 at the Canadian border between Washington and British Columbia. There's a park there with a friendship arch thing.
Ooh, oh boy.
Celebrating our peaceful coexistence as brothers.
I doubt that's a real thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, we know how those bellicose Canadians can be.
I do know.
Especially now, Jeff, with their new prime minister, it's just freaky.
You and I both went and saw Star Force, The Wars Awaken.
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
Mm-hmm. I saw Star Force. It was good.
Here's some money, honey. Go see a Star War.
I would love to talk about it on the show. I honestly feel like the spoiler rule is still in effect because it's been so busy with shows seeing it. There are a lot of people who still haven't had a chance. So I don't want to go into too much detail here on the air with our thoughts.
Needless to say, I was delighted. I was delighted all the way through.
Now, I thought it was a good film. I will not call it the best Star Wars.
Which one would you say?
Empire Strikes Back, I think, is still the best Star Wars, period. Film is welcome to pass it someday, but...
Now, J.J. Abrams, did he sign on for 3?
No. He only directed this one. I think he might help writing some other, or at least produce other ones, but he's not doing episode 8 or 9. But they've already got the directors lined up. So they have Rian Johnson is going to do episode 8. People are excited for that because he has turned in a lot of good little projects over the years that have all been well...
What has he done?
He did Looper, was his most recent movie.
Oh.
a sort of wacky time travel thing with Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Bruce Willis that got very good reviews. Episode 9, though, is, as of now, going to be directed by Colin Trevorrow, who, I probably said that wrong, who's most recently known for directing Jurassic World and is responsible for the utter mess that that was.
Jurassic World was amazing.
Jurassic World was an awful movie.
Jurassic World was tremendous. What are you talking about, an awful movie?
On our Mormon podcast, I'm going to rank the Jurassic Park movies for you. Number one, Jurassic Park. Number two, Jurassic Park 3.
No, Jurassic Park 3.
And then no. Jurassic World. And
you
then
can't
the
have
Lost
a movie
World.
With Andy Dwyer be below Jurassic Park 3.
Because he's not convincing in a
serious
role.
That movie was phenomenal. No, I love that movie.
I'm sure we talked about this back in June or whenever it came out. You always do this.
You find your one thing and then you get more and more entrenched. Because when you saw it, right? When you saw it, you said it was a great movie.
No, never said that.
But I didn't like how they did this one thing.
No, I saw it. And even during the movie, I was like, okay, this is ridiculous. And then that same day, the more I dwelt on it, that movie is the reason I discovered the blog Birth Movies Death, which I've been very thankful for. It's a wonderful film website. And
Jeff, my respect for you as a man and as a human being has gone down as you do not appreciate Jurassic World.
It was entertaining, but it's not a good movie. It's a mess.
It's a great movie.
It's just a huge mess.
I'll agree with you. Not good. It is great.
Okay. Agree to disagree.
Pterodactyls attacking and ripping people to shreds. That is a great movie.
And the completely over-the-top unnecessary death of the assistant chick.
That was not over the top. You try and be killed gently by a dinosaur. Thanks. Come talk to me when you figured out how to negotiate with these carnivores in the sky to have a gentle, less over the top death.
But it wasn't earned, though. She was like, she was a non-character, and she had this long.
That's the way pterodactyl hunts go, Jeff. You're just standing there 1 minute, and then you are in the sky the next. In their claws, their talons are ferocious. Are you not following the fact that these are dinosaurs that are murdering people?
Actually, if I may be the actually guy once more, pterodactyls were not actually dinosaurs.
How is that? Just big pelicans?
I forget what the official science of it.
You can't pull an actually and not have any idea.
I don't understand all the taxonomy of everything, but I've read that pterodactyls were not technically
dinosaurs.
Oh, heavens, Jeff.
Did you read an article on the internet? Well, you must know more than I do then.
Just like the big fish in Jurassic World.
Please tell me more about this Wikipedia article that you helped edit.
Wikipedia is always correct because anybody can alter it, so you know you're getting the best information. Always. Well, we are getting way off track here. It's Christmas, for goodness sake, and we're arguing about a six-month-old movie. This is not the Christmas spirit. It's Christmas time, Al. It's Christmas fair. This week.
You've softened my heart.
I am excited for Christmas. Do you assume you're back in Missouri? Do you have just wonderful family traditions that you get to do when you're there?
I'm excited for Christmas. I got 50 pounds of Cease candy this week. 50 pounds from one vendor. I had another vendor. This was a great story. I don't know if I told you this last week.
Probably not. You were too busy sitting by the hot tub hoping you didn't get kicked out.
I had a vendor that sent me an email. Again, my name is Al, and they sent me an email and said, "Holly, go ahead and raise the prices on them by a couple thousand dollars, but Al will freak if he sees that on the invoice. So make sure you do it in small $300 to $500 increments." But that being said, all systems go. Margo.
So you saw this email. Did you fire everyone involved?
So I get this email and I reply and I say, "Margo, what's Holly's email address? I'll forward this on." Then Al. And so then I get like 9 phone calls on my phone from this woman. I refuse to answer them. The next day, I get a 10-pound bar of chocolate in the mail overnight. Overnight FedEx delivery. It is like the most "I'm sorry, take me back" gesture I've ever seen, and I was loving it. So I am inundated with sweets and candy.
Did you happen to get a box of soft centers with those?
I don't know what that means.
Well, did you get boxes of
chocolate? Did I get a box of French men? No.
That was the most pithy thing you've said all night. That was beautiful.
Thank you.
You know, you get the boxes of See's Candy. They come in 1 or 2 pound boxes. If you get any soft centers, those are my favorite. I love the soft centers.
What does that mean, soft centers?
Okay, when you get a See's Candy box with a variety of different chocolate truffles or whatever, yeah. You know, there's some where it's just assorted, but there you can also hone in on the variety. So if you like nuts and chews, all of them will be nutty or nougat, caramel type stuff. You can get soft centers where there are no nuts or coconut or nougaty type things.
Oh, I've got the full assortment.
I would figure, but you had 10 pounds, so I thought you might have had a mix, you know.
No, I have 50 pounds.
50 pounds. Well, if you find some soft centers.
5 10-pound boxes of
If you
candy.
Find some soft centers in there, just send them old Washington, D.C. way, will you? Just the address is Jeff.
No, Jeff, Washington, Jeff, these D.C. will last me well into July. See, I've had other people offer to eat. I'm not interested in sharing. I stockpile,
and then I eat through the year. I am supposed to be your best friend.
You are, absolutely.
And Jeff, yet, of your chocolate, you will give me nuts.
As I said earlier, I am the worst one to call in your dire circumstances. You're better. I am not the hotline you want.
You're like, remember that old church video when it does like a montage of people who are depressed and struggling, you know, and it's all about, of course, finding hope through the Savior and everything. And there's someone who's standing on a ledge thinking of jumping, and they pan down to some like construction workers who are just going, you see them yelling, jump, jump.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
So sad. Even as a kid, I saw that. I'm like, really? They're not like concerned citizens. They're just like, dude, do it, do it, do it.
So tonight I watched my favorite Christmas holiday movie.
Scrooge.
The Family Man. With Nicolas Cage.
Not a bad flick. It's not a bad flick.
Thank you. Thank you. Finally, we agree.
I mean, it's no Jurassic World, but what is?
I would never ask it to be a Jurassic World. Jurassic World is in a league of its own, Jeff. A league of its own. But The Family Man.
This used to be my playground.
I do. I love the movies that sort of where the hero is the overworked, like, diehard businessman that turns into a soft, lovable father.
You see yourself in that, is what you're saying.
Wait, say that again?
You see yourself in that, the diehard businessman who becomes a lovable, soft dad. Is that why? Do you feel a certain affinity?
I absolutely do. I Mr. Darcy, yes, please, thank you. I go to Sabrina. I am the Harrison Ford character that I go to.
Of course.
I go to the Family Man. I am the Nicholas. This is me excusing my antics and mm-hmm. hoping for better days. That's what this is.
I haven't seen that movie for a long time. I should go. I should check that out.
It's a great one to put back in. I try and watch it. I watch it every year around this time. That's my one Christmas one.
I watched me some Elf the other night, so that was enjoyable.
You know, I feel like singles gatherings have ruined Elf for me forever.
Okay.
That's an every year. It's a used up singles ward activity.
That's true.
It's taken the taste from me. I'm not there.
Give them a new movie. Make them watch Scrooged.
I'm sorry? Scrooged?
Scrooged
is that
classic.
Is that like Krampus?
No, it's Bill Murray, Scrooged. It's a great flick. It's awesome. If you haven't seen Scrooged, I encourage you to watch it.
I actually don't think I have.
Well,
and I'm curious. I'm curious why I've never seen it.
Well, now is the time. Make it happen, son.
I'll agree with you. I am on your side, Jeff.
In other great news on the Openshaw end of things, my family has a great tradition. And I often forget about this. We have a Beavis and Butthead calendar.
Please don't pass say around those harsh words.
I can't help it. That's what it's called. Sorry, a Beavis and Bottomhead calendar.
I'm not joking. As a youth, that is actually how he had to describe those calendars.
I bought it in 1993. It's a 1994 calendar. I bought it for my dad as a joke because of how much he hated that show. I didn't watch it or anything, but there it was. Bought him the calendar. Then the next year, he shocked us all by giving it back to me completely wrapped, still shrink wrapped, and just gifted it back to me. Like, haha, take that, my boy. I'm giving it back to you. And in so doing, started a tradition that continues to this day, 20 plus years later, of giving somebody the still shrink wrapped Beavis and Butthead calendar.
From what year?
Somebody else. So it's been good. We've been doing this for ages. Now, last year we thought we misplaced it, but my dear sister found it, and so all is still well, and it's in play again. I love our silly tradition. Someone gets it every year. Every family should have some kind of a tradition, and the fact that mine passes around a 22-year-old calendar that has never been opened, it's probably worth dozens of dollars.
But it's where we do acts that the Savior would do.
Yeah, or you like read Luke 2, something like that. Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
that sounds kind of okay. But what I'm talking about is Beavis and Bottomhead and a calendar.
We have an Advent calendar of like events of the Savior.
That's like one approach. I mean, that's fine. But see, I'm talking about a calendar. So
I like that you are continuing to refer to it as Beavis and Bottomhead, Beavis and Bimhead.
Oh, hi Beavis. Hey, Beavis.
That is... No, please stop. Please stop.
I am Cornholio.
Please, let's never try. That is an impression. All right. Jeff, we got Mormon things. It's a good week in the world of Mormondom.
My
favorite one going on right now is the church advertising on Times Square. Did you see this?
Yeah, well, I saw that. I mean, they put it up when they started the whole Savior is Born campaign. Yeah, it's huge. It's everywhere.
They are in love with a Savior is Born campaign. They are
in shocking news, the church is in love with the birth of Christ.
They are sure that this is going to stick. Now, looking, this hashtag has not done nearly as well as, what was their Easter one last year? Because of him?
I think was the very, very, Easter one, you're right, last year. Easter of 2014.
Because of him, blew it up. Hashtag a Savior is Born. Kind of a reach, it doesn't fit with conversation as well, but they are advertising like crazy, and they bought like every space on a wall in Times Square, which was really cool to see done up.
You raise a good point, though, about Boncom's done some great work, and it's been cool to see the church step up their social media game. But because of him, lent itself so well because it basically made it sort of a transitive statement. People wanted to share something that said, because of him, blank, I am whatever, I have whatever. If you just say a Savior is born, it doesn't really lend itself to
The hashtag doesn't drive any emphasis because you're...
It doesn't drive any
you're
addition.
You're like, boom, I love Christmas, hashtag a Savior is born. Right. I just did this great act of service, hashtag a Savior. It doesn't fit. It does not fit.
Or call the missionary department, harass them, and say, a Savior is born, and then hopefully they'll respond.
Oh, they better. They better.
You know. So I'm with you, though, man. They've done a lot. And as you might have noticed...
Maybe it's time to change PR departments, you know?
Yeah, and they've killed it on this, because this comes out of Adage. It's all the same word. Adage is one of the many publications that follows the advertising industry. And so through all the holiday stuff we've seen, all the holiday advertisements, you see a lot of them. The church actually made a list of the viral video chart they maintain. So, for example, you've got Walmart, as sung by Craig Robinson, kills it. 39 million views since Feud. And basically all of them are things like Duracell, Samsung, Ziploc, Walmart again, Target, Walmart again. Walmart's doing great things. Toys R Us. And then Mormon.org, a Savior is Born video, has 17 million views, putting it in ninth place. They've killed it so much that they are actually in the, they're with Walmart. I don't even know if the article bothers to mention the church. I think they ignored the church.
Imagine if Walmart were saving your soul. That's how great the Mormons are right now.
That's pretty good, though. I mean, it's one thing if the hashtag doesn't always take off in the same way. But they've done a good job producing good videos that have been they've grown the exposure a lot.
I've actually enjoyed their advent too, as they've counted down and they always relevant, good, meaningful stuff. I think that they've done a very good job this year.
Yeah, overall this year's been kind of cool. Yeah, all the daily countdowns, the different, you know, some, and they had, you know, various social media people doing things, different degrees of success, I would say. But overall, I've liked that this year's campaign has been more than just a hashtag. It's really covered a lot of different bases.
That'll be next year's campaign. It's not about a hashtag.
No more hashtags next year.
I like that.
Yeah, so cool stuff.
Jeff, don't be offended. I will be eating a black licorice caramel soft chew.
I was at an authentic Mexican restaurant this afternoon.
Go on.
And they had this salsa that was pitch black, and it said imported from Mexico, caution hot.
You didn't bat an eye, did you?
Of course not. Oh, this is stuff. No, this is one of these things where if you got close to it, you could actually, the heat would get up in your nostrils.
I did it, a girl like that. Same thing.
You could tell how fierce it was. I wish I were eating that on the air because it would make things a lot more exciting, is what I'm saying. All right. In other Christmassy news, some of you, you know, may want to visit Temple Square. Temple Square during the holidays is a beautiful place. I think it's one of the best things about living in the Wasatch Front is being able to visit Temple Square during Christmas because it's just gorgeous. It's a wonderful thing to see.
I know, that's why I go to church.
There's a good spirit there. But some of you may not be able to get there. That's understandable. We don't
know. What do we do, Jeff? What can we possibly do?
You can tour the Temple Square lights from the comfort of your own home. Utah Virtual Tours has set up a site where you can check out different spots on Temple Square. Presumably because the church has not allowed someone with an omnidirectional Google camera apparatus to just waltz through Temple Square.
Why not?
So this is the next best thing. Basically beautiful 3D photosphere type imagery of Temple Square accompanied by a very peaceful
Have music. You seen the ones on Facebook where you can click in and like you get the 360 view? So like the Blue Angels will be flying and you can see everything they see.
Technology is amazing. I want one of those
for the temple or for the Temple Square.
Okay, I bet you could get one done. Wield your substantial clout and authority.
All right, Utah Virtual Tours, your site sucks.
But in better news, you can see Temple Square if you've never had the chance to before.
This is maybe the worst thing I've ever seen produced. Jeff, this was your big idea. You put this up. This is the experience I get if I've never been there. You want people to actually see it. I would, you know what? If you've never seen it, just pretend like you didn't see this. Don't bother.
This is awful. It's going to be whatever you're thinking it looks like is better than what you will see here, is what you're saying. Your imagination is better than the reality.
This is literally Utah Virtual Tours. You guys should just go away.
Also, speaking of, did you just delete something? Also, speaking of Temple Square, there is a quasi trailer out right now about stalkers at Temple Square. Basically, we have it on our Facebook page.
We want to hear from you. Have you ever been stalked while at Temple Square? Have you ever tried to go to General Conference, stepped out for the lunch break, and then never made it back in because somebody wouldn't let you?
Because an aspirant spouse is trying to get betrothed. That's what's going on here.
So what Jeff is talking about, this appears to be some sort of a family home evening project where they've gone and made a video together. Again, don't be impressed. If you're impressed by these sorts of things, they'll keep making them. You need to raise your expectations. Bring them up
You're saying it's time for people to reevaluate their priorities.
Yeah, the God's Army days of church cinema made during family home evening are behind us. It's funny. That being said, I have a few fake movies I've made during family home evenings, and I thought they're very entertaining. They are terrible, terrible movies. But
none of them quite as good as your Envirothon video from EFY. I think that's superior.
It was really good. Then I had a parody to the OC that I tried to remake once using plastic guns. It was very entertaining.
Do you have is there any access to this? Does it exist digitally?
Yeah, yeah. I'll send it to you.
Send it to me. I won't share it. I know you don't like me to share things like that. I won't share it.
It was the was the Imogen Heap song that was part of like the OC finale.
Sure.
Yeah, you remember that, right, Jeff?
See, I don't need to watch the OC because I'm from Orange County, so I live it every day. Every day.
Well, you don't live it every day because you're not
there. I was in Orange County this morning. So, yeah, I do.
Okay. All right.
I saw Star Wars in Orange County. I feel like that qualifies me as an everyday liver.
You are?
I am. Yeah. Well, send me that video. I'll watch that.
All right. No.
I really wish you would authorize all of us to listen to your dynamite karaoke covers of popular songs that you record yourself. I really want.
Jeff, that is for a day when I die. And it's gonna
I really want the public to. We can release it as an entire album. I could get it up on iTunes. It could be amazing.
Actually, that would be really fun. All right, we'll work on
that. I can have it set up for you in an afternoon. It'll be great.
That's a really good idea.
Another revenue stream, Al. Another feather in your cap. I'm just thinking of ways to monetize that, baby.
We've done it now. We've done it. All right, let's see. Other exciting things. So this is an interesting one. The church in St. George. There is a restaurant that opened up within 600 feet of a steak center. So they have a rule in St. George that you can't sell liquor within 600 feet of a church. So this restaurant opens up within 600 feet of a steak center and they apply for a liquor license and the church opposes it. The city ends up granting it, mainly because one of their primary arguments was that nowhere in St. George can you get a glass of wine with your meal if that's what you desire. And I'm guessing this is probably pretty accurate. In St. George proper, you're probably not going to have almost any restaurant that is not within 600 feet of some sort of a church.
It's probably hard to do, yeah.
So they made an exception, and the church fought it. And because the church fought it, that's why this is news. I say, good, go for it. This is good civil discourse happening in a positive way.
But the church lost. So how is this in any way good, Al?
No, the church
lost.
Sure, the church lost because the city decided what was best for the city. But I like that the church was able to oppose it. I like that there were also residents that were on both sides, and cases were made, and then the city council voted just like it's supposed to. Well done, St. George.
Well, I'm curious about the ordinance that says that, you know, you can't have alcohol within, 600 meters or something like
600 feet, yeah.
600 feet. Okay. I mean, that's close. I could see it being unsightly. I mean, if you pull out from your building and there's but it's just a restaurant, so whoop-de-doo. But, yeah, I don't know. Like, what's going to happen? Is the booze going to just kind of make its way over to the steak center? Like, it's just going to affect the whole neighborhood? Change everything?
This changes everything. That's exactly how I say it normally, yeah.
I believe they said that, ironically, the building was once used as a storehouse and tithing collection facility back in the olden days.
So this doesn't change everything. What happens is you have to apply for special exception. And that's what they had gone for, and that's where they landed.
Okay, then. Well, cool, Al. Thanks for sharing.
Nailed it.
You are crushing it, sir. So, President Monson, I don't remember this story, but he killed some rabbits. Do you remember the story about President Monson and the rabbits?
Go on. No,
he didn't really kill the rabbits. It's more like he sent the rabbits off to their doom.
Okay, I thought that was that's a sweet thing.
So this is by the New Era. So I didn't know that LDS Living was straight up now aping content from the New Era, like just saying that's the author. But okay. So, a time of giving as a boy. President Thomas S. Monson said Christmas time had come. He was preparing a big turkey, all the stuff, you know, and a neighborhood pal of him asked him what turkey tasted like. President Monson says, kind of like chicken. So, what does chicken taste like? Basically, he finally realized that his friend was poor and had never had chicken or turkey. He didn't really know the flavors of meats in general. And he had no solution. There were no turkeys, no chickens, no money. He didn't know what to do. But then he remembered that he had two pet rabbits. So he took his friend by the hand, rushed to the rabbit hutch, placed the rabbits in a box, and handed them to him in the box with the comment, "Here, take these two rabbits. They're good to eat, just like chicken." And he took the box, climbed the fence and headed for home. A Christmas dinner safely assured. Tears came easily to President Monson as he closed the door to the empty rabbit hutch. But he was not sad. A warmth, a feeling of incredible joy filled my heart. It was a memorable Christmas. So the story, of course, is that he was able to help somebody have some Christmas meat. I guess the thing is, these weren't described as rabbits being raised for the sake of food consumption. These were his pet rabbits.
No, this was him sneaking the rabbits out the back door.
Yeah, he had pet rabbits and said, "Take my pet rabbits and murder them and eat them."
It's called that's called hunting. I read this week the book. I read this week the book. That's not it's like hunting rabbits in a box is how they say that.
That's the expression. Okay.
But I read this week the book The Revenant.
I know there's a movie coming out based on said book.
But anyway, there's a I'm an avid outdoorsman now after reading that. I'm so excited.
Doesn't he fight a bear?
He does. He fights a bear. He fights Indian people. He fights
Native Americans.
American Westerners.
People.
He traps animals and eats bugs. It's very exciting.
He's basically Bear Grylls.
Yeah,
is what you're saying.
But again, this is I like that this is my reaction when I see a movie coming out that I'm like, oh, that's great. Too bad it's rated R and I can't see it. I'll buy the book and read that. The movie will be too graphic. I'll buy the book that goes into 1,000 times more detail and read that because that'll be better.
That's perfect. You know,
this is my mindset. This is what's happening in my head as I'm saying, oh, yeah, yeah.
I will say this, though. This is not to defend any of that stuff one way or the other, however one feels. But when I read a book, it doesn't sit with me as much. It's not as visceral as if I were to see the same thing depicted on film.
How do they say, Jeff? We are visual creatures.
We are, and that can sound very much like trying to make excuses to get, and that's a whole different discussion. But at least for me, if I do read something, I can just kind of separate that more than if I see it, I'll always set like flashback to the images of that in my mind. It won't leave. Yeah, I'll have it there.
Yeah.
Set. Just like what you said, Al, you know, like the website for the Temple Square video versus one's imagination, right? When you see the horror of the actual Utah tour thing, you can't get that out of your mind.
I've seen terrible things.
You're better off just imagining what it might be like. So there we go.
Absolutely.
All right, some other quick ones. So John Kasich, everybody. Now, my dear listeners who are of the Republican persuasion, I love you all very much. I've been a member of your ranks before. I feel now that I've been pushed away, but I still feel an affinity for all of you. As I now stand alone as an independent voter who may vote anyway, any which way but loose, we'll never know. So John Kasich is the governor of Ohio. He is running for the Republican nomination for president. You've seen him in the debates. He's usually off to the side. He's one of the lowest polling ones up there, but he's still in it for all intents and purposes. And he's really made a name for himself by just going after Trump a lot. Anyway, this is not about Donald Trump. This is about Kasich visiting Utah for a fundraiser, but while there, bothering to visit Welfare Square and marveling at the power of self-reliance and the power of faith that we have. And I think it's a cool experience when you just kind of read this. It's quick, but he bothered to go and do this and just says, dude, this is awesome. Like, it's amazing. And, here's an illustration that it's about loving your neighbor as you love yourself. It's remarkable when you look at the total dedication of the entire community. It's so important for people to see these kinds of messages. I wish all of America knew about this. And I echo that. I remember when Mitt Romney ran for president, remember when they had...
Wait, you echo? You want all of America to know about it?
To know about Welfare Square?
Why aren't you out there telling them, Jeff? Why aren't you witnessing for the
temple? Because they clearly don't listen to me when we only have 50 reviews on iTunes, Al. They clearly don't. I carry no weight.
If America cared,
we'd have dozens of reviews on iTunes. Anyway, John Kasich's sort of a minor player at this point, but... And I don't want to politicize it too much, but I've been impressed with him as a candidate, just looking at his stances on it. He seems like a reasonable guy. And honestly, this is not an official TWIM opinion or anything like that, but as I encourage you, my Republican friends, to take John Kasich more seriously. That is my counsel to you. But even if it had been Donald Trump saying, this is amazing what happens.
And my advice is wait for the convention, and then let's get Romney in a sneak attack up there.
Oh my gosh, that would be so exciting. That would be like something on the West Wing that never happened. That would be so thrilling.
That honestly really would be exciting. And maybe, just maybe, there would be enough people, enough Mormons that could flood the floor to make it happen. What if that happened? What if?
We can pray. We can hope and pray. That basically have to hope that Trump or Carson gets the nomination and then it has to save everything. See, if a guy like Kasich gets the nomination, he's like a reasonable mainstream candidate.
Oh, yeah. No, that'll never work. You got to go Trump and then fix it.
Yeah, pretty much. Absolutely.
Okay, so old Sitake, he is our new coach.
Where's he from? Like, where did he come from? And who's coach? What are you talking about?
BYU's – us meaning
– oh, because BYU finished their season with an embarrassing loss to the U. Yes. Yes.
Well, right. I mean, most people know us as Broncos boys. That's what they call us. And I don't believe in that. No, where was he coaching before this?
I don't know. You're the one who follows college football.
Oregon State.
Well, they've got a good program, right? I mean, baseball, I know they do, but so I assume by the transitive property, they're good at football too, right?
Honestly, I think he, people seem to be excited about him. I don't know if we're more excited that Bronco is gone or that, Kalani Sitake is coming in, but either way, he's a Polynesian, and the Polynesians that I know in my circle are very, very excited to have a Poly in there. I think they're all under the assumption that they will now get free tickets to the games because that's kind of how.
Couldn't you also call a polygamist a poly? I feel like that's a dangerously succinct.
No, that's polygamy.
Oh, okay. And, okay. So like a poly gamer, like a coach.
A poly G would be a polygamist is how they like.
Poly G is a rapper.
Yeah. Well, he's a polygamous rapper. That's true. Speaking of polygamous rapists, if I may. This FLDS community has had its first Christmas ever decades.
In decades, yeah.
Ever in decades, that's what it's. So apparently some place called Hilldale is an FLDS community, and they banned Christmas there for a while. If having multiple wives wasn't enough to convince you that this was not the place for you, Hilldale also didn't celebrate Christmas. I'm just saying. You know, do you want to live in an FLDS community like Hilldale? I don't want to.
I'm assuming Hilldale is somewhere down on the Utah-Arizona border, if I'm not mistaken.
No idea. Wherever Christmas is not celebrated, it's in a community of Jehovah Witnesses.
Yeah, Hilldale is on the border of Colorado City in Arizona, so it's in that little nether world.
Manasseh. Welcome to Manasseh, Colorado.
I've never been to those areas, and I would kind of enjoy visiting them. I'm not going to lie to you.
Jeff has a map where on this map he's drawn every road he's ever driven on. I feel like, Jeff, you would just like to visit every road in America.
Pretty much. That'd be exciting. What a well-worn map that would be. It'd be beautiful.
You could be like a Google Street View, but in real life.
Do you know how great it's going to be when I get home from our trip and I can open it back up and just add a few little extra lines around El Paso? Oh, man. A little bit of extra in El Paso. It's going to be great.
That is funny.
Can't wait. I it's going to blow my mind. So here's a good little, here's a really uplifting, good Christmassy story. So an American Fork ward every Wednesday does humanitarian work. So they visit a nondescript stake center in American Fork. And it just looks like.
It's got a gym, if that helps.
By the way, Herald Extra, do the church's name correctly. I mean, you're a Provo-based newspaper, for goodness sake. Come on. So everyone's inside the gym. They're doing sewing. They're assembling stuff. They're putting stuff together. There's stuff going on everywhere. So they're basically just building and making all kinds of different things. Gifts, useful items, all kinds of stuff. And then they send it all out to the needy, the people who need sanitary kits, whatever it might be. Every Wednesday, this ward, this stake actually, is going to town trying to help people. It's awesome. Like basically, they must not have mutual. But
speaking of sanitary kits, I was reading back through journal entries of old Christmases, And I think for the first 15 years of my life, every year I'd get deodorant and an orange in my stocking. That was like the sum of everything.
Don't feel bad. My mom gets us Post-it notes every year still.
She's like, why are you giving me deodorant, shampoo, soap? Like, these are all – you can't just – well, no, that's not fair.
Maybe your personal hygiene is wanting. Maybe that's the message that's trying to be shared.
I also found a great journal entry where I said, this is worth recanting. I said, let's see, today was Halloween. I helped rake some leaves. I played darts. I watched The Princess Bride. Mom yelled at me because I gave Jacob a Melvin. I feel miserable now. A Melvin was a wedgie on steroids, and I like that I called it a Melvin as though everybody should know what that means. That is a 12-year-old me frustrated with life because he can't give his brother a Melvin. I think the actual term here, I think it goes by a number of phrases, but I believe this is where you give the wedgie and then you fold their legs up and wrap the underwear over their feet so that they can't get out.
Okay.
Perhaps a covered wagon in some circles.
Yeah.
It goes by a number of names, but anyway. there is my posterity that will look back and say, Jenny Doan, why did you get so mad at your son for giving his little brother a Melvin?
These are the questions I don't want to answer. Why does a banana want to grab another banana? You know, I don't know. I
can't know. Absolutely. So Dean Hughes, popular LDS author, has written his 101st book. Dean Hughes has written, he sort of went up against who's the guy that wrote the Work in the Glory?
Lund.
Yeah, Gerald Lund. Dean Hughes, I feel like, would be Lund's arch nemesis.
Oh, I could see that. We could make a movie, like a prestige-type movie about that, right?
We should do celebrity rap battles with Dean Hughes and Gerald Lund.
Just a couple of white guys from Utah, just like, well, hi.
I'm sure we can find some mannerisms to mock.
We are something. So racist in all the wrong ways, Al. We make fun of white people like it's okay to do it.
We're progressive racists, I believe is the term.
Is that what like, they call it?
I think Donald Trump coined that term.
He's very progressive. So anyway, tell me more about Dean Hughes. What's going on with him?
That's it. He wrote his 101st book. He's written a lot of books. He's more than Stephen King. I would dare say not more than John Grisham, though. How many books has John Grisham wrote?
That's a fair question. I don't know.
How many books? Google will know.
What about his brother Kevin Grisham and The Rural Juror? That's an important book.
The Rural Juror?
Yeah. The Rural Juror has been adapted for the screen? I'm a huge Kevin Grisham fan.
I have no idea. He sold 275 million copies. So I'm going to say John Grisham has sold more than than Dean Hughes. But how many?
Well, doesn't Google usually yield these results? Let's ask my trusty dandy phone. Let's see if the phone knows. Okay, Google. How many books has John Grisham written? Oh, boy. Oh, boy. It's not telling me. So many of these have been movies.
Yeah, I know. There's a lot out there.
This is really important. Why are we not getting
You know where we need to go? What was that one? That one search engine. Alfram Wolfgram. Wolfram Alpha.
Whatever you're saying right now, it sounds like something you've made up.
Wolfram Alpha. Alpha, that's where I'm going, yeah.
Yeah, uh-huh.
How many books has John Grisham written? This is good radio.
There are a lot here. I do not believe he has written more. Just at a cursory glance to what they're doing here, I do not believe that.
Oh, total 23. He's written 23. All right, well, Dean Hughes won. I stand corrected. Withdrawn. Mr. Hughes.
You're doing beautiful things.
Yeah. You are the Pan with your 101 books. His first book was written and published at age 35, which means, Jeff, you have, what, 2 years to write your first book?
My age is irrelevant to this discussion.
I believe you are close to a 40, closer than
no,
I am.
No.
Who's closer to 40, you or me?
I believe that has to be me because I'm 11 months older than you to the day.
That's fair. You are aged.
Well, you know, I do what I
can. Also, if I may, who's closer to 50? And on, you, Jeff.
And so forth, and on and forever. All right. Let's get out of here and go off Christmas time, huh?
I like it. Oh. I like it.
Oh, unless you want to do the handy-dandy Star Wars
No, there's a lot of that. There's a lot of fun Star Wars
translation
memes going around,
card.
But I don't feel like we need to talk
about apparently it. Jedi Knights are missionaries.
People, I would like you to write us letters. Write us a letter about how you thought the show went, what you thought we did well. Mainly, if you could write and just say you're doing great. To those who have written in, and I have had some terse response that was not endearing. You knew what I was when you picked me up, if I may. But contact at thisweekinmormons.com or visit thisweekinmormons.com and go ahead and leave a comment.
Thank you for loving me enough to hurt me, Al. Yeah. Just like the gardener.
I'm the gardener here. Yeah.
Thank you. You know, you can also join us on social media, everybody. We love that you do. We hope you'll do it. And you know what? Take my word seriously. Write that review. Get in on iTunes, if that's what you use to listen. Write that review. If you don't want to be public, we will gladly put a testimonials page up on our website.
And if it's not a 5-star review, do not write that review. Go away. Yeah.
We will have a graphic that shows the stars, and we'll put quotes just like a movie thing. We'll use a lot of ellipses in between to get the sentence I want from whatever you said.
You're a true PR genius.
I do what I can. Trying to keep us safe and legal, Al. Safe and legal.
All right, Jeff. Merry Christmas, buddy. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you too, my friend. May you be well. Blessings to you and your family. Say hi to all of them for me.
And yours as well. All right, buddy.
All right, folks. Have a great Christmas. Thank you for listening to This Week in Mormons. We'll talk to you again next week. Bye-bye.
Later.